We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground, according to everybody. Everybody. I'm saying everybody. Y'all, the best looking state in the world right here, Alabama. And I mean, this show goes way down south. South of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, before I go to the phones, let me just pause here a second. Give you guys something that I think is pretty big to think about. And oh, by the way, give you something for free. You ready? So this is indeed a crazy world. Yes, it is. We know that. Here you are. You're working hard to plan for your future. And you're also the kind of people that stand up for your beliefs. But what if you found out that in the middle of doing all that, that some of your investments were going to things that are absolutely contrary to what you say you believe in? Well, maybe it's time for you to meet Paul Breyer and his team of PhDs and financial experts at our newest advertiser, Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors. Look, y'all, I'm talking about financial planning that considers who you are and what you believe in as much as your bottom line. These are solid local experts. They use biblically responsible investing techniques, data-driven strategies to maximize your return. And they do it, by the way, in a manner that not only impacts your bottom line favorably, but also will maximize the world in which you live. This is what I call financial freedom. It just is. So if you want to know more about what's in your portfolio, here's the free thing, all right? Maybe you've already got some investments you did not realize they were in all kinds of wokeness. So you might want to go to their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's www.moneypatternwealth.com, and get a free impact report. You can also go to our website, rightsideradio.org, on our sponsors tab. Click on their logo, takes you straight to the website. So yeah, it's conservative, godly, it's balanced, it's financial freedom with Inspire Advisors at moneypatternwealth.com. All right, let me jump on in now to the telephones. Brian from Huntsville's on the line. Hey man, how you doing?
Doing pretty well, sir. Thank you. But it's a serious question.
Yeah.
It's a double-tiered. The Amnesty Votes executive order from Biden. Now, Trump goes in. I'm hoping he can reverse that executive order by executive order.
Oh, yeah.
And if he can, the people that have already been granted amnesty, can they be reviewed and it be revoked?
I'll answer that as best I can. And thanks for the question, Brian. Good question. Can Trump rescind an executive order? Yes. Any executive order by a prior president can be rescinded by the next president. And Biden rescinded a whole bunch of Trump's. So yes, an executive order does not carry the full force and effect of law, although it does have what I would call the color of law attached to it, meaning regulatory issues are the stem of or the outcome of executive orders. So that being said, what happens to people if Trump comes in and rescinds, and there are folks who have been granted some official status of amnesty, then I would say that that can be overturned, but they may have an argument. If, like, for instance, here's the deal. If they had received some government statement, something in writing, almost like a contract with them that says, you are hereby granted amnesty, and then Trump came back in and rescinded it, they would certainly have a legal argument to say, I relied in good faith and reasonably relied upon the government, and now you can't take it back. I think they could argue it. I don't know that they could argue it effectively, but I think there would definitely be an argument. So that's the best I can answer your question, Brian. More to come on that. But the main thing is Trump's going to have to win first, yes, and then we need him to rescind a whole bunch of stuff. All right, let's jump on into the next topic. This is Juneteenth. Some of y'all are very aware of that. Some of y'all are off today because of that. And by the way, Juneteenth, I'm good with this. I mean, Juneteenth is an official federal holiday as of, I think, like in June of 2021, they passed it. And if you're not familiar, so what is Juneteenth? June 19th, it's a short way of saying June 19th. In June 19th of 1865, federal troops got down to Galveston, Texas. In the aftermath of the Civil War, General Lee had already surrendered to Appomattox Courthouse 2 months earlier, but slavery in the places that were outlying, slavery was still going on. I mean, it had been 2 years since the Emancipation Proclamation, but there were slaves who had no idea they had been set free. So when the federal troops got down to Galveston, and think about where Galveston, Texas is. It's all the way down. It's an island off the coast of Texas on the Gulf Coast. It's like the furthest reaches away in terms of the Confederacy from you know, the front lines. When federal troops got there on June 19th of 1865, they let people know who were believed to be the last who were under the color of slavery, unknowingly having been set free 2 years prior. So June 19th is the day we celebrate when the last people were finally told that they were all set free and things were made right. I'm good with that. I'm good with that holiday. I think it's awesome. I think it's worthy. I think it's the kind of thing that puts us in the forefront. Here's my problem today. My problem is not that we have a Juneteenth holiday. Not at all. I like it. I like it a lot. I mean, we have holidays for a lot lesser things, right? But what gets me is when race baiters and charlatans get out there and abuse what is an otherwise really great event. And they make it something it's not intended to be. And they spend all their time trying to gin up stuff that doesn't even fit, and they're ruining the day. And they can't stop themselves. It's like they need more victimization, because without victimization, the progressive left has nothing to work with. Everything's got to have victimhood. Microaggressions, trigger words, you didn't use my pronouns right, all my intersectionalities. You know, you look at it and think, is everything, are you a victim at every, yes, they are. They are victims in every direction. They live for victimhood. The vast majority of the platform of the progressive left is based on the idea that something bad is happening and needs to be fixed. The world's going to end, climate activism. You know, stop big oil, more activism.
No U-turn signs.
No U-turn signs. God almighty, that was huge. I'm pretty sure they changed the world by taking down that U-turn sign. Just saying. But here's the thing. You can't take every single moment in life and make it a victim moment. You can't. At some point, you have to stop being a race baiter and a charlatan and realize that perhaps it's just time to move forward. Juneteenth, in my opinion, is a moving forward holiday. It's the day when we leave an awfulness behind, and we don't forget it, but we celebrate having come out of it. We as a nation can celebrate Juneteenth. I'm good with that. But how about we stop with some of the victimhood and the race baiting and the charlatanism that constantly seems to be invasive of our culture right now? Story here on WokeSpy. I think I've quoted WokeSpy.com every day this week so far. It's an interesting website. They've got a lot of good stuff on it. It's very simple, but it has some of the wokest stories out there. Story came out yesterday. A Tennessee bill to allow the death penalty for child rapists. Think about what I just said. A state of Tennessee bill, just signed by the governor, allows for the death penalty for people who will rape children. Yeah, well, LGBTQ activists are saying that this is nothing but a racial minority and gay people persecution opportunity. Kid you not. So they did. They passed it. The governor signed it. Under the new Tennessee law, state prosecutors can pursue the death penalty when an adult is convicted of aggravated rape against a child. Other punishments include life imprisonment without parole or imprisonment for life. First thing out the gate, you got activists on social media saying laws like this are cool in theory because rapists die, but bad in practice because this will only be used on racial minorities and gay people while cops and priests continue to commit crimes without ever facing charges. No, not really. But that's what race baiters and charlatans do. They need victimhood to be perpetuated. You got a story out of Oregon. Oregon. Not known for being a bastion of conservatism. But every once in a while, you still look at it and go, is there anybody left with common sense in state government in Oregon? So I'm going to read a couple of phrases here. You ready? America is a land of opportunity. I agree with that. I believe the most qualified person should get the job. Awesome. America is a vast melting pot. Certainly is. Those are all considered harmful microaggressions now, those phrases. Don't you talk about being a land of opportunity. That's a microaggression. Why would you say that? because it's a land of opportunity? No, what you're really doing is you're trying to portray that you are in some way privileged and you believe that you've got more because of your skin color. Just stop. So right now, the Oregon Medical Board is considering taking action against doctors who commit what it calls microaggressions, like saying things like what I just said. Now, let me give you what they even define in this article from the freebeacon.com. Dateline yesterday, day before Juneteenth. Microaggressions are, quote, innocently intentioned behaviors interpreted by women or minorities to be subliminal communications of bias into a definition of unprofessional conduct. What they just said was, if you accidentally or innocently say something that someone else doesn't like, it's racism, and they will now be able to take your medical license in Oregon if they pass this law. The Oregon Medical Board policy analyst Elizabeth Ross said the board would consider permanently adopting the proposed microaggression rule during its July 11th meeting, and if it does, that it may favorably impact racial equity by making discrimination a ground for discipline. I'm pretty sure discrimination's already a ground, but how are you going to define microaggression in reality? In today's world of hypervigilance and over-anxious snowflake triggering, you look at it and go, there's no way for a guy to win. There's no way for a good doctor, he or she, to win. If they say something and somebody wants to hashtag me to them and claim that somehow or another what they said made me uncomfortable. I felt like he was exerting his privilege, and I believe that that's a microaggression, and I have filed a complaint with the state medical board. Guess what? Your years of medical school and residency and passing your boards mean nothing anymore because you just said something and the victims in society believe they needed to be a race baiter and take you to task. It's messed up, y'all. It's absolutely asinine. And then you got this story that I'll take right before the break. Remember Jussie Smollett? Remember Jussie Smollett? The fake noose that hung around his neck when he went out to get a sandwich at 2 o'clock in the morning and said that guys in MAGA hats tried to kill him? Yeah, Jussie Smollett. It's all fake. Every bit of it. It was a race-baiting fake crime. Well, it keeps on going. Story off of ABC 7 Chicago. This one is related to a story in Texas, though. The Democratic challenger for the Fort Bend County, Texas Precinct 3 commissioner, it was a local race in Texas, in Fort Bend County, is now facing charges for allegedly creating a fake social media account to post racist comments directed at himself after the Republican incumbent had requested an investigation last year. So here's the bottom line. Old boy's a race baiter. He needed an edge. He was losing in the election. So he set up some fake accounts on social media to be able to send racist comments to his real account so he could then claim racism and hopefully gain some victimhood in the eyes of the, you know, sympathy votes, basically, in the eyes of the voters. Y'all, he's just been arrested and charged with a third-degree felony charge for online impersonation and a Class A misdemeanor for misrepresentation of identity under Texas election codes. Also, he could be a race baiter and a charlatan. It's a crying shame. But listen, it gets worse when you see people in official positions. When we get back from this break, I'll tell you what the Teachers Union of Chicago wants to do. Yeah, but they're not going to be one-upped by the mayor of Chicago. Oh, he's got a new thing. Yep, just in time for Juneteenth. I'll tell you all about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower up in here. Hey, by the way, I want to remind you guys, the latest edition of the Right Philosophy video podcast is now out. It's on the rightsideradio.org website. All the editions are there, and we're pretty stoked. We got we have another video podcast in the works right now that we'll be announcing very soon, followed by a third after that. The goal is that we're giving you guys all kinds of conservative content to work with and to lean on and enjoy. But yeah, so the Right Philosophy video podcast, we film it at my house, and I'm pretty stoked about the quality and the content. It's out today. You can find it at rightsideradio.org. Check it out. We'd appreciate your feedback on it, too. All right, so I'm going to finish up this section. Coming up after the top of the hour, don't forget Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. But for right now, let me finish this piece. So it's Juneteenth right now. Don't mess it up. Don't make it something that was never intended to be. Juneteenth is a celebration of the way forward. Juneteenth is a celebration of coming out of a bad thing. Juneteenth is when we celebrate that the last slaves were made aware that they had been emancipated. And it was 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. It was 2 months after the end of the Civil War, Galveston, Texas. And so June 19th, 1865. But race baiters and charlatans need to have victimhood in order to be able to perpetuate the progressive policies and mistruths that they live under. So, two stories out of Chicago. Which one do I want first? I'll do this one first. Pulled this from hotair.com. Dateline, yesterday. Coming into the Juneteenth holiday, Stacey Davis Gates, who is president of the Chicago Teachers Union. Seems like a very nice person. She seems nice. Not really. Did a radio interview on Sunday and told a local radio host on the air that conservatives don't want black children to learn how to read because it's a part of the oath they take to be right-wing. Just out of whole cloth. Just make this stuff out of whole cloth. The interview was on WBBM News Radio, and the guy who was interviewing her asked her the questions, social justice issues. She immediately launched into racism, and she said this: conservatives don't even want black children to be able to read. What? So remember, these same conservatives are the conservatives who probably would have been championing black codes, you know, during Reconstruction or thereafter. Can I remind her that Democrats controlled the flow of the South and the Reconstruction and the Jim Crow laws and fought back against the Civil Rights Movement? Thank you very much. But she went on to say, so forgive me again if conservatives pushing back on educating immigrant children and black children and children who live in poverty doesn't make my anxiety go up. It's what they're supposed to say. It's part of the oath they take to be right wing. What a sick diatribe, man. What a sick thing to say. How do you sleep at night? By the way, that is the president of the Chicago Teachers Union. That's not a person who's got no say or sway. That's the president of the Chicago Teachers Union. And then, no time for it, but I'll tell you this, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, who used to work for the Teachers Union, he got out yesterday and said he's calling for reparations in the city of Chicago. ABC News, got the story. Y'all check it out. Coming up next, Grand Council. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.